It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me think, I'm getting valid. It's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me think, I'm getting valid. It's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
LSU with Carter.
Let's freaking go, PHL Nation! There is so much to get to. Shout out to Lee CDX Productions for our new intro. We'll talk about that and the great story of the person who actually made the song. That's going to be coming up here in just a minute. And that's a reason why you should be a part of our patrons, Patreon community. They got to see it before everyone else. So we worked really hard on it, and we hope you enjoy it. Now, the big story today, of course, Angel Reese is going to the WNBA. We'll talk about that coming up. I do want to get back into football mode. I am really excited, though, to still watch the women's Final Four. I'm really freaking excited to really get to sit down and watch LSU baseball. I'm not as good of a multitasker as many others that could keep up with all the gazillion sports and my NFL stuff I'm doing. So now that women's basketball is in the rear view, I'm able to really sit down and do some baseball analysis, even though I am not Peter Gammons. I do want to start things off because I think the most underrated thing that happens in the offseason is when we get a chance to hear from the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. And earlier this week, we got to hear from Joe Sloan, and this was my big takeaway.
With this offense that you learned from Coach Dembrock this past year, some aspects and things that made the offense so good?
Yeah, I think the nuts and bolts of what we do and the foundation of what we do was set here over the last couple years, right? When Coach Dembrock came in and we put this offense into effect, right? And what we've done as an offensive staff, we have four of us that are still here, right? And myself, Coach Hankton, Brad Davis, and Frank Wilson. And, you know, so a lot of that carryover, plus we have a lot of guys who played in our offense the last 2 years. So we want to keep the building blocks of who we are, but no matter who's talking to you at this podium, you got to build your offense around the personnel that you have. And I think we're doing that, right? We're growing. And just like we did 2 years ago, going into this past year, and making an evaluation of where we're at and what we needed to do, We've sitting down as an offensive staff, and we're continuing to do the same thing. What do we need to be moving forward, right? And as well with coming from Coach Kelly, what do we need to do moving forward to win championships and be a championship level offense? So again, absolutely, the foundation has definitely been laid, right? And then there's growth as to based on the personnel that we have and making sure we can attack people in the absolute best way so we can go win championships.
There you go. So obviously, that was a roundabout way saying we as an offense are always going to fit what we need to do with the personnel that we have. Now, before I give my thoughts on what he just said, I do want to share that there was a huge story surrounding college football that did break in the last hour about a potential super league. We'll get to that in just a second. More details are coming out about this. It's nothing you should really freak out about, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Now, Joe So needs to come in and be himself. And I say come in, he's been here for years. And honestly, what we did last year with Jaden Daniels became so much about Jaden Daniels, right? I felt early in the year, a lot of what we were drawing up was just amazing Jaden Daniels plays and amazing ball placement. And of course, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., and everyone going out there making plays. But I felt as the season moved on, every play worked because Jaden Daniels was playing so perfectly, if that makes sense. Even if the defense had us well defended, Jaden Daniels would find a way to make something happen with his legs. Or as the season moved on, he would throw on the run just a little bit more. That really wasn't his thing. That was more of a Burrow thing. But he just truly made a play every chance he had. And one thing to keep in mind, if you really focus in on Jaden Daniels' last game versus Texas A&M, a lot of the plays made in that game was just him. Just finding ways to get the football to players in tight coverage and just him scrambling out of a lot of sticky situations. So what happened with our offense last year? A lot of it is not even translatable to this year because Garrett Nussmeier is a different quarterback. And that's why hearing Joe Sloan say, hey, we have our foundation. And he also said in this press conference that they do have an offensive line that they want to build around. And offenses should be built from the inside out. I do like the fact that he's saying, look, our offense is going to be based around what our personnel is. If Caleb Jackson this season catapults himself as the best player on the team, guess what? We are going to become a more run-based offense. And that is something that's in the cards. I don't think he will catapult to like a Leonard Fournette level, but I think he's going to be very, very, very good. So let's become a more run-based attack. Let's get some play action going. Let's get under center if we need to. Let's run some more 12 personnel if some other wide receivers can't develop outside of Kyren Lacy and C.J. Daniels and Chris Hilton. We should build our offense around what our strengths are. So I liked what Joe Sloan had to say. He had quite a few things to say about Mason Taylor, this offensive line, and so on and so on. I do want to follow up here with this very next question. And like we said last night, we're going to go through some of Joe Sloan's media availability. And before we do that, we say hi to LA Mom. We say hi to J Red. Say hi to Simper. Cole says he loves him some Joe Sloan. George the Scientist Ninestat. Mario, we'll talk some pitching a little bit later. Tony, good to see you. And let's go back to the great Joe Sloan. Don't forget, if you super chat, we go straight to your question. Here's Joe.
You've been working with Garrett now for a couple of years. Just what was the emphasis, I guess, coming into this offseason this spring about just where he needed to go and just how have you seen him develop now that he's getting some of these first team reps?
Yeah, no, I think with Nuss and even rewinding back a couple of years ago, everything's been about a do your job mentality, right? Obviously, anyone who has had the opportunity to watch Garrett play, he's got a ton of arm talent. He has unbelievable vision, and he can deliver the ball in a lot of different ways quickly. His big thing has been playing within the structure of the offense and understanding when to challenge a throw, right, and when not to. And that's been the big emphasis, right? Is making sure just from a do your job mentality and having tight feet. When Garrett has tight feet and he has his feet underneath of him, he makes really good decisions. And so it really is a technique thing, which is in his control. So we just try to keep him focused on that. I've been really, really pleased this spring with how he's done that. But then also taking over the leadership role. I think, you know, you watched and I read, I think Mason Taylor's comment a couple of weeks ago, which was really cool to see. You know, just when all of a sudden Garrett got his opportunity in the bowl game, you could see him step into that role and the relationships that he had built over time, the work that he had put in. Guys respect that. They respect work, right? They respect work, and they respect if they know you care, right, about your teammates, and they respect guys who are going to go out and do their job to the absolute best of their ability. And I think that's how Garrett's stepped in and maybe taking advantage of his new role. So it's been really good to watch. But I think his vocal leadership has really grown. But I think he's playing within himself. So it'll be fun. We got a lot of work to do between now and August, but a lot of really good things so far.
Love it. Love to hear what Joe Sloan had to say there about Garrett. And before we get to LA Mom, we'll talk some run game here. Yeah, it's one of those things where you know, I've gotten so many messages about Garrett Nussmeier throwing the interceptions, and should we be worried about old Nuss coming back? I think he's going to be a very, very good SEC quarterback next season. I shared my concerns about us looking at the SEC next year and maybe underrating some of the quarterbacks that we'll be going up against. I've talked a lot about Connor Wigman and how I think he's actually a little bit better than we would probably like to think, even though there is a small sample out there. You know, that does concern me, and that's more so the defensive side of the football than Garrett. But I think Garrett's going to be fantastic. I really, really, really do think so. And once again, it comes down to his mechanics. It comes down to playing within the structure. And you look, a lot of his bad interceptions that he's made have been, or are bad decisions, is when he's tried to create out of structure, right? The interceptions versus Southern were both of that variety. So and those were just a few years ago. I think Garrett's going to be fantastic. I really, really, really do think so. I don't know if, I don't think he's going to be like special. I think that'll be his year five. But if he is special, and obviously Vegas thinks that he has the third best Heisman Trophy odds, let's just say he is like a New York Heisman Trophy finalist level player, we are going to the college football playoff. So I'm really excited to see Garrett Nussmeier's growth, his leadership, and so on and so on. Let's go to LA Mom. What concerns me is, are we going to be able to run the football? Every time we tried to run the ball last year, it was dismal, except for Jaden. So I agree with that towards the end of the season, right? Our handoffs to running backs, that's what she's focusing on here. What was bad? I think we have one player over 50 yards on the ground at the running back position from the Alabama game all the way until the end of the season. And that is just not good. It wasn't bad because our offense was so spectacular. You don't need a singular running back to have a big day, but 50 yards isn't really that high of a barrier to clear. I truly do think we will be better at running the football because you're going to need to. One way to do that is not telegraph your runs. I felt like our run game at times could get telegraphy. In other words, they would be able to sniff out what we are doing. But, you know, I truly do think we are going to have a great run game next year. One thing to keep in mind, yes, there is a major focus on our offensive line. But the people at Pro Football Focus, I like to do my own evaluations. You guys know this. But there's only so much one person can do. So I do look at Pro Football Focus's numbers. I've been reluctant. There are some things I disagree with. There are some things I'm skeptical of. But they did have Mason Taylor as the number one run blocking tight end in the SEC last year. So we tend to think of Mason as, you know, kind of a do-it-all kind of guy, but he is a very good run blocking tight end. So if he continues on that trajectory, he'll be a pretty good draft pick next year, probably a fourth or fifth rounder, and he will be a difference maker for us. So there you go. Next thing I will say is I'm really excited that Joe is getting this opportunity. Here's a guy who just a few years ago was at Louisiana Tech. I mean, both he and Blake Baker were DCs, OCs at Louisiana Tech. And now they're at the big shebang. So I'm really excited to see what Joe is going to do. All right. Now, what I want to get to is this College Football Super League, and then we'll talk some Angel Reese coming up here in just a minute. And let's go. All right. Let me see. Is this true, Jimbo Fisher to Ole Miss? I don't know if this is true or not. Okay. I would be very skeptical of that actually happening. I think that would actually make more sense for Lane if Saban was still at Alabama. That would be more of a Lane kind of move. But let me work to confirm that. I would be skeptical. Okay, but it could be the case. Now, I do want to chat a little bit about this College Football Super League. But if it is in your heart's desire, please drop a super chat. Or go to powerhourlsu.com/shop and get you some PHL merch. Once again, in the off season, my donations do go down. I am mostly a donation driven channel. So please support what we are doing here. We had the new intro to start the show. If you missed it, it's so good. You want to rewind and watch it again. I totally get it. And we also got a special message coming up from you, from someone serving in our military, here in just a second. So, if you can, please, it goes a long freaking way. And of course, we thank those at Louisiana Controls, LouisianaControls.com, for supporting us as well. Now, I want to talk about this College Football Super League. I am not sure if this is going to happen. I am not sure if this will ever freaking happen. And we appreciate you, Semper. Right on in. And Tony, thank you so much. I appreciate it. So you guys get to pick the next topic, go right on ahead. And while you think of your favorite question, this story was broken earlier today by The Athletic. A group of sports execs and college presidents is proposing a new Super League of 80 schools to pay players, collectively bargain, and increase revenue. And they say, quote, the current model for college athletics is dead. Now, obviously, there are a lot of different things that we want to change about college sports. There's a lot. Okay? A lot. One major change that they discussed was something called promotion and relegation in the new 80-team Super League. And if you're a European soccer fan, you know what all of that means. Okay? But the truth here is I don't think the College Football Super League is going to happen. I don't think so. Because it would require the SEC and Big Ten to all sign off on the Super League to happen. Okay, this is Brandon Marcello of 247 responding to The Athletic. All right? So the Super League involves some NFL execs, some professional sports execs. I was able to read the story in The Athletic. I have a subscription to The Athletic. It is behind a paywall. I might show you a few things from it. I'm always a little hesitant to show paywall content because I know my stuff on Patreon gets shared quite a bit behind paywall stuff. I know how it feels, but I will tell you, this right here from Brandon Marcello is very important. Intelligent people with money are involved, and with back pay lawsuits from players on the burner, universities potentially on the hook for billions of dollars. Simplifying the structure and trying to strike bigger payouts and media scheduling for schools is tempting. But private equity is backing it. All right. And for those that aren't big political people or economics people or just business media people, when private equity gets involved, it's normally not great. I'm not smart enough to really break down everything about private equity. I've watched a few YouTube videos on it, but still. Brandon Marcello says, do leaders want to get ahead of the problem and try something this drastic, or do they want to wait until the current system is on life support and bankrupt, and it's actually nearing such a predicament? My question, is there really more money to mine from the TV streaming networks? I've got my doubts. Folks, this final sentence is where I stand with it. All right? This is what I will say. All right? People in American sports don't like change. They don't like change. All right, they just don't. I get it. They don't like the idea of promotion and relegation. They don't like the idea of this, that, and the third. They only like it if it secures a bigger payday for its members and institutions. That is the only thing. How much more money could be made with the Super League? Well, if you want to get out of under the NCAA umbrella, this makes a lot of sense. Obviously, a lot of the college football suits and power brokers are trying to move into a new direction. Okay? But I'm not sure this is what they're going to do. So even though this is a big flashy story and it just broke in the past hour, folks, they just signed a deal with ESPN. $1 billion. $1 billion. You know, it's a lot of money to be bringing in per year. Why screw that up? It's a mess now, but I don't think they're going to go in this direction. What I have heard, though, and I skimmed the story. I wasn't able to hear this all the way through. This is also the case in women's, I'd say women's college basketball. In the NCAA tournament, they want to get rid of its selection committee. All right. One college sport doesn't have a playoff selection committee, and it's the hockey. The college hockey, they just rank the best teams on their computer system. So this new Super League is proposing that. They're going to have, you know, a ranking system that just puts the best teams where they need to be. So I'm open to it. I really am. I just don't think the leagues are. I just don't think so. Okay? So take that for what it's worth. Those are my initial reactions, but I am open to new things. All right. Let's go to Simper's Super Chat. All right. How long will it take for Caleb Jackson to be RB1? I'm saying no more than three games. I think it's actually a day one thing. He is the RB1. Now, the good thing in this situation is you already have a pretty clear-cut backfield at this point. There is no sorting out of this backfield. You have two scholarship running backs with experience on the team right now. You have Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson. They perfectly complement each other. Caleb Jackson is the home run hitter, the more explosive weapon, the more talented ball carrier. Josh Williams sees the game a little bit better, doesn't run into tackles like Caleb. Obviously, that comes with vision over time. Obviously, Josh Williams is the better and clutcher pass protector. You got to think Josh Williams has been giving us clutch, come from behind pass protection reps since 2020. Okay? Since, you got to remember, just to show you how long Josh Williams has been here, he was on the field for the Max Johnson Florida victory. He was between the white lines when Marco Wilson chunked the cleat 50 yards down the field. That's how long Josh Williams is playing college football. He also has a 2019 championship ring. So we're going to use that experience as a pass catcher. And also, Josh Williams is a very good goal line back. He's got a lot of guile and creativity to find ways to score. So they honestly complement each other really well. The issue is, where does Caden Durham fit into this? Can he give you something as a year one player? Is Trey Holly going to get back? Will LSU actually go into the portal and get another running back? I think they should anyway. I think they should. But it'll be pretty quickly that Caleb Jackson is a guy getting more carries than Josh Williams. I would think it would be versus USC. Because one thing that LSU is going to need is more explosiveness. Josh Williams has explosiveness. He has big runs. I mean, the run to start the third quarter versus Florida in the swamp, not this past year, but the year before, is one of the better 50-yard runs you will see at LSU. So Josh Williams has some explosiveness. He's not a home run hitter like Caleb Jackson. Caleb Jackson has real elite speed. And Josh just doesn't have that, and Josh just isn't as big. So Caleb will make a year two leap and be a very good player for us. And he's got one of the clearest routes to being that guy for us in recent memory. John Emery isn't there anymore. Noah Kane isn't there anymore. Trey Bradford isn't there anymore. So this room is cleared up, and we'll see what happens with the Trey Holly situation. We'll see what Caden Durham could do. All right. So there you go. Now, everybody welcome Jenkins to the channel. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I can't even tell what this avatar is. Is that a, what kind of animal is that? Let's go to his question. I always want first-timers to feel welcome. LSU will have three first-rounders this year, but next year we could see four first-rounders. Will Campbell, Emory Jones, Harold Perkins, or Kyron Lacy, or Chris Hilton. LSU will have a great year next year. What do I think? So, Jenkins, I like to think of myself in LSU media terms as someone that follows the NFL draft very closely. And I love, and I mean love, following LSU players in their pro careers. Now, my Google Analytics tell me that it's not something that's very popular, but that's okay. I like it. I love the NFL. It's why I have an NFL channel. It's why I like doing NFL draft prospecting. So, this is actually pretty funny. It's just a selfie, guys. Yeah, Jenkins. That's cool. I like it. I needed a good laugh. Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. That's so funny. We welcome all different walks of life here. That is so funny. But yeah, we could see four first round picks. At this point, you know, I could I see Will Campbell go in the first round? Personally, yes. Offensive line is like one of the tougher things for me to break down. I feel like it's still the hardest position to evaluate. I really, really do feel like that. And it's crazy. You wouldn't think that, but it is. It's definitely one of the harder ones. Running back and receiver, I think, is a little bit easier. Tight end, I feel, is a little bit easier as well. But offensive line, in particular offensive tackles, you never really know what the NFL is looking for, honestly. You know what's funny? Like 40-yard dash times have become a good metric. They're starting to see that your raw athleticism testing matters more at offensive line and offensive tackle. I'm telling you, Will Campbell and Emory Jones are such amazing athletes. I would think that they would test pretty well. I could see a world, though, like for my own prospect evaluations of these athletes coming out of high school. I had a higher grade on Emory Jones than I did Will Campbell. Now, Will's been the better player up to this point, but both of them have been exceptional. I could see Emory Jones going higher than Will Campbell, but you know, I think they're both first-rounders. I really do feel that way. Harold Perkins is a first-rounder. I think it's going to be interesting. I know the national media loves him. Like, there's national draft analysts who are already salivating over him for the next NFL draft. Harold Perkins, like B.J. Ojulari, went to the NFL Combine this year. Ojulari did after his sophomore year as well. So we know Perkins is setting his sights for the league. It's just going to come down to how the league views him at the next level. Is he a pass rusher? Is he an off-ball linebacker? What is his best role? Is he undersized? I don't know. But what I can tell you, he's a playmaker. First round draft capital, though, on a non-edge, non-corner will probably never happen again in the NFL. For you to get a first round draft pick in the NFL, you either got to be a corner or an elite pass rusher or an absolutely dominant defensive tackle. I think one or two defensive tackles will be in the first round every year. Off-ball linebackers and safeties, we saw what they did this offseason. I mean, a lot of teams have unloaded all-pro safeties, leaders in the locker room. So, Harold Perkins in the first round, if he crushes it, of course, he'll be a first-round pick. But we'll see what happens. Are there any other first-round guys outside of those five guys that you mentioned? C.J. Daniels, I could see a path forward for him as a first-round pick. Maybe, Braden Swenson. What if he just tears it up? You know, we saw last year, his name, I always forget his name, but he was an absolute beast. He wore number 6 for Missouri. He was an edge player. He basically came out of nowhere and is now a borderline first-round pick. So Missouri's defensive ends coach, Kevin Peoples, is now with us. Maybe there's a defensive end we're not talking about, even though our end room is mostly on the younger side. Maybe it's Braden Swenson who shoots his way up draft boards. You know, he is a little bit on the older side, but maybe it can happen. Maybe it can happen. So there you go. Now, Jared says, no one cares about hockey. Don't do their plan. I hate on hockey more than anyone. This is actually something I do on the football card show that I do. Anytime someone brings up hockey, it pisses me off. All right. Unless I'm at the game, I will tell you this. There's no wider gap in sports than watching a hockey game on TV and actually being there. No wider gap. Like, they say the same thing about baseball, but I can actually like semi enjoy like a baseball game on TV. I cannot watch hockey on TV. I've tried. If it's Stanley Cup game 7, it's still a reach. Like, maybe if I was alive in 1980 and Al Michaels is on the call, maybe. But the hockey plan, what they do in the NCAA for those who don't know, for their postseason tournament, there is no selection committee. I kind of like that. Teams can bargain and see what actually goes into the formula for how they rank the hockey teams. And there's no subjectivity involved. Now, I've always said that in the college football playoff, they have a formula. They have a criteria that they go by. But still, I am a big, big believer in getting rid or truly evaluating selection committees. Or if you do a selection committee, be more transparent about what actually goes in to the selection committee process. Now, they sure as hell weren't going to be transparent about this last year's college football playoff. And that's why they aren't transparent with you, the fans. But maybe if we had just a computer system that spits out the rankings, there's really no one to get mad at. There's no human error. That's true, Chris Miller. Josh Williams downfield blocking. Yeah, and that Alabama block will forever live in infamy. Okay. Mick says soccer is a great sport for 12-year-old girls. What's that supposed to mean?
I'm zero. That's supposed to be. I don't.
The most popular sport in the world?
Soccer.
Oh, the cheapest sport to train in? Soccer? That is accessible to pretty much everyone. Now, I will say club soccer in America in particular is overly expensive. But to get good at soccer, all you need is a ball. But this isn't a soccer live stream. Let's go to Danny Girl. No selection committee ranking system. Is that more similar to the BCS model? Computer ranking system. Yes. I don't know too much about the hockey system, though. I just read guys like Ken Pomeroy, who does his own computer rankings for basketball, say that maybe we should move the NCAA tournament to that style. Now, Melder, we'll talk about that. We'll talk some NASCAR as well. Cliff wants to talk NASCAR, but I do want to talk about Angel Reese. So you did football at the beginning, and I want to get into some Angel Reese discussion. But we do have plenty of you that have served in the military, and I have got a very cool little thing to share with you right now.
Carter the Power Bryant. Just a little bit of swagger, just a little bit of taste. My dog is Casey, a.k.a. Kenya Digg, serving out of Kaderbach, Germany. I'm the one who did the song for the intro that Dex made you. I'm glad that you like it. I love what you do. Continue grinding. I hope this video brings more exposure to your platform. This is an opportunity that was unimaginable to me, so I deeply appreciate it, man. I'm going to be tuning in, so let's make some shake. Power Hour LSU. Let's get it.
How cool is that? So this was the young man who's obviously serving our country, who helped, for those that missed out, I'll replay it, our new PHL intro.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter.
How crazy is that? That is crazy. So I didn't know they were actually making that. So Lisey Dex, of course, big fan of the channel. And
they put that together. They wrote the song. They put all the shots together. And that's crazy. Like, because I know, Danny, you're getting ready to go to Europe right now.
He's in Germany. So you know how hard it is and how busy his schedule is. That's insane. So I am honored for that to be our new intro. So shout out to them. And that makes me feel a lot better. Because today is a sad yet happy day. That one of the greatest LSU athletes of all time has decided to move on to the WNBA. Now, I said yesterday that I thought Angel Reese should come back. Okay. Semper thought my intro would be country. I did DJ a country show. Okay. I did for a long time, and I met Kix Brooks a few weeks ago. I definitely listen to more hip hop than I do country, but maybe Semper, I know you used to be in a punk band. You do your thing. Jared, thank you for a super chat. I really appreciate you. And yeah, it's definitely worthy of it. So shout out to KC. We're going to get him on and see what we can do to support his music
soon. But once again, that was Leesy Dex Productions that put that together. So we can get into a discussion about Angel Reese coming back. It's not really even worthy of the discussion anymore. She's made her decision. She changed LSU forever. And if you really want to talk about the most impactful LSU athletes of all time, she is definitely she's got to be in your top 10. Like, she can't be lower than that. It's kind of hard to not even put her in the top 5. Like, how big of a needle mover she was for us in this era of NIL, coming from, you know, a different part of the country in Baltimore, inspiring people of all backgrounds, white, black, plenty of young black women, everyone. Just what she did, winning not even the national championship stuff. You know, we can all get our opinions about, you know, the covers of all the cover magazine shoots and autograph signings and all that. But she did all of that. Like, that is crazy. In a 2-year period, she did all of that. And an Elite Eight and a Final Four. And it's the first time we've done that since the Sylvia Fowles days and back-to-back years. It's crazy. And yeah, her game isn't all the way developed. That's why I wanted her to come back this final season and develop a little bit more of an extended jumper. And, you know, field goal percentage in the postseason wasn't the best. God, it was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous what she did and how many things she was able to change at LSU and for women's basketball in general, showing that you could be a big personality. So, Angel Reese, shout out to you. I doubt you even know I exist, but no, I speak on behalf of LSU fans everywhere that you took us to another level. And for that, I will forever be grateful. A team national championship, but also showed us the power of like how one person can change the trajectory of everything. From Kateri Poole helping get an Angel Reese here, to everyone recruiting her, Coach Gregory, Coach Kim, obviously the whole squad. Amazing stuff. Now, this is what you guys are probably interested in. Is this a bad thing for LSU? Yes. She's a great player. She's an All-American. She's SEC Player of the Year. Okay. It's a bad thing when you lose a player of that caliber. But it's not the end of the world. It's not. The only person that would end all our women's basketball success if she were to leave is Kim Mulkey. Okay? That is the only person. Now, we could, if that were to happen, we could probably go out there and find another coach. But Kim Mulkey is the one that got this thing really going. Okay, yes, Sue Gunter. Yes, all the coaches, players, Simone Augustus, all of them. But this current state that we are in of LSU women's basketball being the brand that it is now is because of Kim Mulkey. All right? There are a few positives. Not many, but there are some if you want to spin this somewhat optimistically. First thing is Angel is putting our program in a good spot. We're in a really good place right now. Her mentorship helped Flage become the superstar that she is, to the point where at the end of the season, Flage clearly became the best player on our team. And Angel leading Flage to that point in her career was huge. Angel could have obviously been jealous of Flage's success, but she wasn't. She was all about the team. All right. So this obviously is a good thing that Angel puts our program in a better spot than where we were. The second thing is with Angel leaving, we still have plenty of players that can fill in that production. Michaela Williams will definitely help fill in that volume. Del Rosario will definitely help fill in that production. But obviously, Flage will continue to flourish. Another thing is with Angel leaving, the court will space itself out more. Right? Angel was not a really great perimeter shooter, and it would clog the lane. And if Haley Van Litt decides to come back, this will help her game out. This will help Michaela out. By stretching the floor, it opens up more driving opportunities, more drive and kick opportunities for our offense to flourish. So stylistically, we're going to have to change some things. And it might be for the better for some of our guards to have more room to dribble drive. But once again, we are better with Angel than we are without. And the last thing here is maybe it was just time. You know, this happens quite a bit where you as the star become bigger than the team. And that's not Angel Reese's fault. She's just a superstar. She's a great player. She is a multimillionaire. She is a huge personality. And sometimes it's good to move on to the next chapter. I will say this. Like, you saw what this past year looked like for Caleb Williams at USC. Caleb Williams became bigger than USC. He won the Heisman. They're already talking about him being the number one NFL draft pick after last season. And you saw what it did to USC. Now, LSU, next year they're not going to be as mediocre as USC was this past season. But it was just time, right? And maybe it's good that we're turning the page because it was time for Angel to do something else. There, her coming back, as far as things she could accomplish, there's nothing more she could accomplish. There really isn't. If you would have told anyone 3 years ago that 12 million people would watch a non-Final Four college basketball game, a women's college game, and that number would wipe the floor with the NBA Finals, wipe the floor with every college football regular season game outside of Michigan, Ohio State, you'd have to give me crazy pills. And it's because of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Obviously, those two, more than anyone else, in Kip Mulkey and LSU and Flage, but it really is Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. So, you know, maybe Angel Reese just maxed everything out. Maybe she viewed it as, what else am I doing here? And that might have been part of her thinking. My only thing is, I hope what Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese did will help the WNBA. Okay? I hope it does. It broke my heart that Alexis Morris couldn't stay in the WNBA because there's just not as many jobs. And the veterans of the WNBA are still there. And there's only a finite amount of roster spots. And you're only getting 40, 50K a year. It's not really a lot. Okay? You get a job at Enterprise Rental Car for more than most of the WNBA salaries. I really hope Angel and Caitlin can continue that in the WNBA. I really hope so. But folks, I'm skeptical. I really, really, really am. And it's not them that I'm skeptical of. It's not. It's the brands. It's not even the WNBA. It's that, like, I think one thing that the media and fans of the sport have really struggled to realize is part of this surge are the school brands across their chest. Like, we're talking about this because it's LSU women's basketball, if that makes sense. It's the LSU branding. The WNBA branding isn't as good as that, right? Like, I think it's just, it's so wild to think that there was a women's volleyball game that sold out a football stadium earlier this year. All right. The greatest volleyball duo of all time, Misty May and Kerry Walsh Jennings. The biggest crowd that they probably played in front of in their career might be 5,000, 10,000. And they're the greatest volleyball players of all time. They're the greatest American volleyball duo of all time. But they're not going to draw a crowd like Nebraska does. If I was in Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese's position, I would have come back. I would have come back. I really would. But I also understand them both saying, hey, we've done everything. Now it's time to pass the torch. I get it. I really, really, really get it. But I honestly think it would have been better for the WNBA and the teams and them for them to come back another season, right? Because, yes, the WNBA is ready for Caitlin Clark and they want to ride this momentum. But that same momentum would have built up for another year. And then Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark would have gotten more fans. And coming from someone, and I just said this a minute ago, and I'll say it again because we've got a bunch of new viewers in here at the end. Y'all, I've been doing this for years. I love the NFL. Freaking love the NFL. I really, really, really do. It's why I started an NFL channel, and it's obviously taken up a lot of the time that I had for the SEC channel. It's a lot of work. Folks, when LSU players go to the NFL and I do content on it, nobody cares. Nobody watches. Even with Joe Burrow, his rookie season, I did film studies of Joe Burrow with the Bengals. Nobody watched on here. Nobody. It's hard. It's hard for people to keep caring. And Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are as big as it gets. So they truly are trendsetters if they're able to generate. Not obviously a 12.3 is not going to happen in the WNBA, but if they can get the viewership up in the twos and the 3 millions, that means they truly are revolutionary players, and they are. They are already, but that means that they've reached like a Tiger Woods level of viewership. So it's I hope the WNBA takes off because it's more jobs for the women. And I become a big women's college basketball fan, but we'll see. Let's go to pressure. What's good? Big Four is unquestionably the leader of this team. I'm really excited to see her as like the clear-cut alpha of our team next year. I think in a way it could be and what I would do if I was Kim. Obviously, I'm not a superstar championship Hall of Fame level coach. I would try and modernize our offense. Now, I wouldn't do what Iowa does with like Caitlin Clark, because we don't have a Caitlin Clark. But I would love to see like more dribble handoffs and even more motion. So I would look into it. I mean, they got some good guards coming in. I know a lot of you are excited about Jada Richard and the young lady from New Mexico coming in. Jersey, I love that name, Jersey Wolfenberger. I think I butchered her last name, coming in from Arkansas. Really pumped up about it. But, yeah, I mean, this will obviously be, you know, one of the last times we really focus in on WNBA or the LSU women's basketball team. And – man, I'm so happy we've done women's basketball coverage. I'm so happy we went to the Final Four. Once again, for those that don't know, our post-game show for LSU versus Iowa was the most viewed concurrent live stream I've ever had by a wide margin. And that shows you how big of a deal Angel Reese was. So we'll see. Excited for the future. Okay. Very, very excited about the future of this program. Now, tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more LSU baseball as we look forward to the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. Let me make sure. What time do they start tomorrow? So 6 p.m. We will be live tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central. Nathan has a fantasy football question. I answer all of them in my Patreon. So please join our PHL Patreon. Please. Let's go to pressure. They need to add another WNBA team. Okay. Sure. If they're able to fund it, sure. But, man, I don't know. Like, it's just hard to really, like, explain this. Like, I tried my best with, like, the Nebraska, like, volleyball analogy. I tend to think we as sports fans, we're always drawn to stars, right? We're like, if you're not watching an LSU related thing because you're a fan of LSU, you're focused on stars, right? That's what gets us going. We go to watch Tiger Woods. If Nadal and Djokovic are playing, we're going to watch. If it's Tiafo and I don't know, Roddick, you're just not going to watch as much. I would, because I like Francis Tiafo, but still. But the truth is, it's more about the leagues. It's more about the teams, right? To really draw like a supersonic number, you need superstars. But sports are better when it's team-focused. Like, it just is. And that's why college sports are so great. It's like team focus. Skipper's in here. Good to see you. Danny Girl says, I plan to start watching the WNBA. Who should she root for? Well, the Indiana Fever, I think Tamika Catchings played for the Indiana Fever. And now the Indiana Fever, so they'll take Caitlin Clark, number one, and they have Aaliyah Boston, who played at South Carolina. Both of them, obviously, more often than not, beat us. So if you're able to get over that, obviously we're 1-1 versus Caitlin Clark, but Aaliyah Boston was a beast. If you're able to get over that, then sure, the Indiana Fever. The New York Liberty has Sabrina Ionescu. Obviously, Seattle was where Sue Bird played. Big Sue Bird fan. You know who you should be a fan of? The Minnesota Lynx. That's where Sylvia Fowles and Simone Augustus played. So, I guess I'm a Minnesota Lynx fan. Now, I think that would be good for the WNBA if Angel were to go to the Minnesota Lynx. Okay. And continue that LSU tradition. Dex, what's good? So this is Lisi Dex. I played the intro not once, but twice today. So this is the beautiful young man who put it together today. Appreciate you, man. I will also say this, though. Like, for me to start watching, like, another pro sports league, it's going to be very hard, right? I'm at this point in my life where like football still just takes up so much of my time. I love LSU baseball. It's like, you've got to, that's why, like, I feel like there needs to be like a separation between the LSU baseball fans that watch every single game and people like me who are super fans of the team. But, you know, I don't build my weekends around the LSU baseball. I just don't. Like, there's only so much time to watch all of these. And, yeah, wherever Team Angel Reese goes to, I'm going to try and watch as much NBA, WNBA as I can. It's just hard. It's really, really, really hard. Yes, Jared. To use a Josh Pate term, casuals. I would say, like, for LSU baseball, I'm a little bit more than a casual, but I'm a casual. LSU football, no. Like, I mean, it's I'm definitely not that. But yeah, I mean, I love the NFL. Like, I watch a lot of NFL draft clips. I love the NBA. I love March Madness. Prop sports ban. I don't know too much about it. So normally I don't speak on things I just don't know a whole lot about. What I can tell you, though, is, like, look, I bet on sports. You know, I'm an adult. It's legal, whatever. You've got to be really careful with the betting on sports stuff. Like, I still see my friends talk about their parlays that barely missed. I mean, come on. They're designed for you to barely miss. Johnny Five, what's good, man? It's been a while. Johnny Five, I think, was the first ever one to buy some PHL booger bands. Appreciate you, J5. Good to see you. Tell Gail and everyone I say hello. And here we go. In the next 5 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep it going. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be live at 5 p.m. because of the baseball. Work ourselves around baseball. Holy crap. Big golf news today. Justin Thomas fired his bag man, otherwise known as his caddy. A bag man is obviously a college football term for you Masters fans. I thought that was interesting. And then also in world of sports, Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. There you go. Now, I am planning on going to the LSU spring game. I would love to sit with you at the LSU spring game. So, if you're going, I'd love to meet you. If I've not had the chance to meet you, we have somebody flying in from North Carolina, a PHL patron, to come hang at the spring game. So, really freaking excited about that. And I think it's free. I think you could sit pretty much at wherever you want. So should be a good little get together. And we'll see you there. Barring a miracle, I will be there. Oh. Shout out to our super chatter, Simper, Tony and Jared. Tony and J Red won the top super chat banner today. Appreciate each and every one of you. We'll see you tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Central. Big thanks yet again to Lisi Dex Productions for taking our PHL branding to a next level. We'll talk to you soon. It is Pow Out LSU. Boom. And tonight we are doing chicken pasta. Let's go. Let's.